I'm not going to preach to those who are not here tonight. I'm going to preach or speak or teach to those that are here.
Amen.
Amen. And when I get through, it's not going to be have been meant for anybody that wasn't here. It's going to be meant for you. Amen. I believe from what I've seen in experiences in living for God and a truth church, that no matter how many people are present or absent or how exciting or dragging the services may be, that if your intentions and your motives are good and you're really praying and you're seeking after God and following after the Spirit, every service is truly ordained of God and it has its purpose and somebody is going to be reached, and there's a reason why the people are here that are here tonight. And I don't even know what the reason is, but before the service is over, somebody here, maybe several, will know why it was necessary that this particular group be here together at this particular time. Hallelujah. Let's just all pray as we ask God to bless His Word tonight, shall we? Praise God. We ask You, Lord, to bless tonight in this time of considering Your Word for a few moments, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to just receive thoughts from Your mind, God, and to say what You would say if You were standing here in this pulpit without me here. Hallelujah. Lord, help me to yield to You. Speak to us, God. Speak to us, Lord. We need to hear from You. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you excited about living for God?
Yes.
I am too. I'm excited. Amen. I may not jump up and down like a lot of folks, but I'm excited. I may jump up and down before we get through. I don't know, but I'm excited. Amen. In the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, something that we've read about, heard about over and over, and we've preached about it. And we've shouted, praised God, and thought on it, studied about it. 18th chapter, 1 Kings. It's a story in the Bible about Elijah and those ungodly prophets of Baal. And in verse 21, we read, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to be stuck between your two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him." In other words, he's saying, if the Lord is God, follow Him. And that's what I feel instructed to say tonight. If God is God, follow Him. If God is God, let's follow Him. If the Lord is God, let's follow Him. And if He's not, why are we here? Why do we bother to come to church? If God is not what we say He is, if He doesn't have the power that this Word claims that He has, if our testimonies are some kind of imaginary things that we have thought about and we feel that God is doing for us, but if He's not really there and if He's not really doing these things, then we're kind of crazy folk. We're sort of on the, got some screws loose, bread's not done, elevator didn't make it to the top, people. But if God is God, we need to follow Him. And I know that you believe God is God. The Lord is God. But you know, sometimes we have these opinion problems. Sometimes we let differences of opinion get in our way. And again, I would like to talk about not just us, but people that we do run onto occasionally, and some of us, the way we used to be, how that we used to think, it is easy to find people who are halted between two opinions. Today I've been dealing with people for several hours that have been halted. They've been halted. Their forward progress has stopped. They're not going anywhere. They got some kind of opinion. And when they look at the Word of God, it says one thing, and then the way they believe is something else. And they're trying to hold on to something that they believe, and yet appear to be lining up to the Word of God, and they are halted between opinions. One man said to me today that he found God as a result of being in Amway. He said Amway brought him salvation. Well, praise God for Amway. And I listened to a story of how he found salvation through becoming an Amway distributor. He said, I associated myself with people who had received Christ. And I listened to him as he told me how he was serving this God that he had received. And I just thought about a few scriptures in the Word of God that are so obvious, so simple, so easy to search out, so common among us. And what he was calling salvation could not be found in the Bible. And what he had found as a result of associating with friends in Amway had been something short of Christianity. He believes that there is a God, he says. But he's following his ambition. He believes that there is a God, but he hardly ever goes to church, because he has a lot of work to do for Amway. He believes there is a God, but oftentimes when people are in prayer meeting, he would like to go, but he can't be there because he has to go to an Amway meeting and associate himself with those people who led him to salvation. He believes there is a God. He claps his hand and he gets excited when he hears somebody talk about success. He claps his hand in seminars and he gets excited when he hears somebody talk about how they were able to buy a new yacht. And you know what I said to him? I said, have you repented of your sins? He said, yes. I said, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? He said, yes. I said, did you receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues? He said, no. Then what has Amway saved you from? And then I started telling this young man what Jesus has to offer, who Jesus is, how wonderful he is, how he can give us something that this world cannot give us, but it requires faithfulness, commitment, something beyond a decision. You don't just decide to follow Jesus and that's it, and you follow him the rest of your days without doing something beyond making a decision. And I started talking to this young man about some other things, and we went into some details about differences of opinions. And he was halted between opinions. He finally said, "You know, nobody has ever talked to me like this, ever. Nobody." He had been among religious people probably by the thousands because of his association with people who had told him, "A lot of things are all right and you can still serve God." That's really what Elijah ran up against here with these Baal worshipers. They had found themselves a make-believe God that would let them do what they want to do, any way they want to do it. If it feels good, go for it. If you believe it with all your heart, it's going to turn out okay. Doesn't matter what you call him Baal, it's okay. Call him whatever you want to, just do good. And really, they weren't even doing well. It was like the age we live in where they say you can sin more or less every day. In fact, it's become a doctrine that you have to sin more or less every day. You can't keep from sinning more or less every day. But once you're saved, you're always saved, and you can't be unsaved, because once you accept Christ as your Savior, that's it, you're saved. But what if you died drunk? Well, if you accepted Christ, you're saved. What if you weren't baptized? If you accepted Christ, you're saved. This young man believed all that kind of stuff. We had a fellow here that played a guitar Saturday night. Service got a little strong for him. He came here because he found out we were having service, but he was halted between two opinions because the people that he associated with from the church where he attended were going to a big dance Saturday night, and he was trying to make up his mind which one to go to. And he came over here and he found out we were a little bit stronger spiritually than he expected us to be. And when some of you started speaking in tongues, he started trying to find a reason to skip out. Yesterday he brought me a set of books and told me, he said, "I wish you would read these." I read a little bit, and what I read was such as this. A lady was caught up in the New Age movement. One day she said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now she's saved and can't be lost. I opened another book he gave me, and I saw a picture of a man who challenged all the Jesus name people worldwide and went on TV. He's dead now, and it said the late Mr. Martin. I didn't know he was dead, but I saw him on TV. Defying the name of Jesus. Saying to baptize people in Jesus' name is of the devil. That's the way he said it. It's of the devil, and his eyes got strong. Right on national television. Brother Urson and Brother Saban were there in a panel discussion, and they were discussing this. And this Mr. Martin, the man, this fellow that played the guitar for us Saturday night, wanted me to read about so I would be enlightened, I guess. You know, it's easier to take somebody right out of the sin, the miry pits, somebody that knows they're down and out and no good, a dirty, low-down sinner who knows he's lost, it's easier to get them saved sometimes than it is these people who say that they're saved. Because in order to see somebody find God that professes salvation, you have to bring them to a point of admitting they're not saved. It's the devil's good pleasure to get people divided on opinions. That's why there are so many churches in the land today. That's why there are so many different denominations and doctrines and creeds. Satan has made it his business to influence with numbers and beautiful things that appear to be right. You can go tonight and find people driving fine cars and wearing beautiful suits with a lot of money in the bank and big, beautiful churches. And you can walk into their auditoriums and it looks polished and organized and so grand. And everything is so nice. And you can hear them speak with dignity. Educated people talk about God and use the Word of God to speak. And they can seem like they're so anointed and so blessed. And people will get emotional and get out of their seats with tears flowing and will go to the front to shake hands with a minister to accept Christ and make a confession or a profession, only to feel good for a moment and have the opinion, I'm saved, without having to do what the early church were required to do. I'm saved without necessarily being baptized in Jesus' name. And the preacher says, that's right, you're saved. And you're a sinner and you can't help it. You say, well, what's so wrong with that? Well, if we're not careful, we're going to be so used to these doctrines of dogs around us that we're going to start calling these people our brothers and sisters. And we're going to find ourselves associated with people who are in trouble with God. Now there's one thing when you're talking about the unity of the faith. Anybody who has faith in God can see great things accomplished. But having faith in God does not necessarily save you. But to associate ourselves with people who say that Trinity is right, and to get with them and say, praise God, hallelujah, we're all together in this, come and worship God. Everybody looks at you and you all look alike. One man's Trinity, another one's oneness. Then they go to the church where the Trinitarian is and they read in the Bible something that doesn't back up their Trinitarian doctrine. And then they find you and they say, so you believe the truth? Why did you let me go to the Trinitarian church? And see, what happens is we get people confused. I'm not talking about just us. I'm talking about worldwide. There are a lot of folks who are halted between opinions today in Jesus' name movements just simply because they've let down on a few things. They've let the numbers and the multitudes of people who believe in false ways influence them into going along with the flow, going along with the tide, going along with the pressure of what everybody thinks about it. And if we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves being influenced by these doctrines of devils. That's why we need to stay spiritually sensitive to God. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to remind ourselves and refresh ourselves over and over the things of God that are true and are essential. We must hold on to no matter what modern man tells us. Another person told me today the Bible was written for people almost 2,000 years ago, and today we live in a different time and we have to adjust the Word to fit our lives. You can hear anything downtown Norwich. Amen. Very sincere. We have to adjust the Word to fit our lives. And I told that young lady, no, you have to adjust your life and line up to the Word. The Holy Ghost does not change down through the centuries. The one who inspired the Word of God gave it to us for every age. And she said, well, what about the people before Calvary? What about the people under the law of Moses? I said, Calvary brought us all together. What God promised and agreed to in a covenant with the people before Calvary, His Word, He stuck with it. And what God has given us in our covenant since Calvary, God's still sticking with it. And if we don't hold on to it, don't expect God to say, well, it's permissive that you... I hear so much about the permissive will of God. Listen, if you think that you can get away without being baptized in Jesus' name and being some permissive will because everybody else believes you can do without it, you're going to be halted between two opinions. If Baal be God, follow him. If this thing that you think is right is God, then go that way. But if God is God, follow God. How do we follow God? Just by lining up to His Word. It's simple. God says, seek God first, and let all these other things be added. The whole duty of man is to seek God, to live for God, to obey God. That's it. You say, but I got a lot to do. Well, if a lot to do is God, then follow that. But if the Lord is God, let's follow Him. These folks that keep trying to get our attention, saying, you've got to obey the Romans' plan of salvation. They're just another group that fits in with the group that Elijah met. There is no plan of salvation in Romans. It's time for somebody to stand up in this wicked generation of churchgoers who are living lies, believing lies, preaching lies. Stand up with all the compassion we can, all the love we can. And that's a hard combination. To take the truth and set you free and love the people and at the same time say, you're wrong. It takes a lot of wisdom, and we need to find that wisdom. Elijah found it, and he had to kill a lot of people because he found it. There are a lot of dead folks today that need to be brought to life because of what we found. And we need to put down a lot of spirits that are leading a lot of folks astray because we've got the truth. And you know what? It's just 8:15. I already feel like some of you are bored and want me to hush, and I haven't even got started yet. Because I'm just about to make some real strong statements. And if you will listen to the adversary, he'll say, you're too tired to hear this. Well, if your weary body is God, follow it. I feel like it's time for us to stand up and be counted as people of truth. It's time for us to be noticed as the people with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, not ashamed of it, not afraid to tell it, and not the least bit bashful to stand up and say, hey, this is the truth. We need to fight the devil and fight him with everything that's in us because we're in the end time. And these people who have not believed the truth have not been set free. They're lost. And if false doctrine is God, let's follow it. But if the Lord is God, let's follow Him. And if we follow Him, what happens? It's either forward or backward. There's no stopping and halting in between. Now, you don't try to make up your mind, do I go with God on this issue and then maybe on this other thing I don't go with God? No. You go with God on everything. Somebody said, well, how do I know the will of God? If you're living for God with all your heart, praying in the Word of God, going to church and you're faithful, you're in the will of God. What about the perfect will of God? That's it. That's the perfect will of God. Don't you believe in the permissive will? Not any more than I believed in the permissive will when I was raising my girls. When I said, I want you to get in the house, there was no permissive will. If they said, I don't want to, I said, get in the house. And I jerked them in the house. The perfect will was for them to come into the house. Amen. It's the perfect will of God for people to repent of their sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost. It's the perfect will of God for you to be serving God with all your heart right where you are. Unless God has said, I want you to go to a certain place. Or I want you to do a certain thing. And if you know you've heard from God, and He's instructed you, and you haven't done what He said do, then you're out of God's will. You're not sitting here in His permissive will. When the Lord said, go to Nineveh, there was only one thing Nineveh or Jonah could do, and that was go to Nineveh. The blind man, when he needed his sight, was in the will of God all the time he was blind, until Jesus said, go to the pool of Siloam. And then there was only one thing he could do to stay in the will of God, and that was to go to the pool of Siloam if he wanted to receive his sight. And to do anything else was to remain blind. When it comes to coming and going, the field is the world. Anywhere you go, you can be in the will of God. You can choose to go to Africa. You can make the choice. And you can find God's will in Africa. You can decide, I'm going to start a church in Boston. And you can move to Boston with your family and you can start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll be in the will of God because you're serving Him with all your heart and you've got your mind on the Lord and you're praising Him. And it's His will for you to be doing exactly that wherever you are. Or you can stay in Norwich, Connecticut. And you can be faithful to this church, and you can worship God, and you can be in His perfect will every day of your life if you put God first in your life. But when you start deciding, well, I don't know if I want to go to church every service, and you start laying out a little bit, and it starts becoming easy, well, if laying out of church is the way to go, then go that way. But if God requires faithfulness, then let's follow God. Hallelujah. I was coming up here when I started to come to Norwich. I was in the will of God before I started this way. I know I was in the will of God. It was the will of God for me to be serving God, praying, seeking His face, reading His Word, preaching His Word, and I was traveling around, going across the country, doing just that, and was being anointed in the Holy Ghost, and just being inspired and fed and loving it, and was looking forward to the future, and had all kinds of big plans to go here and to go there and to do this and to do that. And Brother Maynard came up to me in Greenville, South Carolina, and he said, I want you to come up to Boston, if you will, and preach for a few of our New England churches. And tune a few pianos. He said, we need you up there. And I was just going to go to Boston just like I was going to all these other places. And so I came up here, and then we went, while we were here, And I'll just tell you this much. I don't know if all of you know this. But when we got to Boston, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were somewhere, place called Chinatown. And sleepy, and we pulled over and tried to get some sleep, but that was a bad place to sleep. And the gas tank was on empty, and I had $1. That was it. And we were here a day early, and I didn't know how to get a hold of the Maynards. We didn't know the Bakers at this time. We didn't know anybody except Brother and Sister Maynard up here at that time. And we didn't really know them. We knew God. We were following God. Didn't know Brother and Sister Hurd. Didn't know the Olettes existed. Had only seen Brother Warren at General Conference one time. Didn't know them. Didn't know anybody. And there we were. And on the way up here, I felt like, you know, when we get up there, they'll probably say something about us moving up there. And I said to Melody Michelle, you know, it's possible they may try to get us to move to New England, start a church or something. They said, no way. No way. And I agreed. I wasn't going to go to this place. No way. Not New England. Not this southern boy. Besides that, I had a lot of plans. And they were all godly plans. And then we got up here, and Brother Maynard didn't know the predicament we were in financially. We had 3 or 4 cassette tapes in my trumpet case, old, you know, homemade tapes. They weren't professional tapes that I had run off on a cheap recorder. But we were out of money. And he wanted us to... he wanted us to go to church, and we did. But I had to ride with him because I didn't have enough gas to get there. Devil don't want you to hear this. And I'm going to make a point in a minute. But I'm going to make it. He didn't want us to get there. The devil didn't want us to get here. And he saw to it that we were just right on the verge of not being able to make it when we were in New England. But the Lord was dealing with my heart. Every time we'd pass a big building or a lot of people, it said, look at all those people lost on those streets. A few days went by, and I preached a few times. Brother Maynard didn't realize how broke we were. We sold those 4 tapes for $5 apiece in order to have some hairspray and a couple of hamburgers at McDonald's. And he said, we're going to go over to Martha's Vineyard. I never had heard of Martha's Vineyard in my life. I didn't remember anything about Martha's Vineyard. I thought it was some woman that had a vineyard and we were going to go meet Martha. And he called Sister Jeffers and he said, I got a minister with me. We're going to come over to Martha's Vineyard. She said, well, I've got a minister preaching for him. He said, but come on, we'll enjoy having you. So we went over to Martha's Vineyard. We got on a boat, still feeling like we were in the will of God, serving God. And just before the boat took off, here come a fella running on board, like he was about to miss the boat, and a white-haired gentleman behind him and a tall lady behind him. My daughter Michelle was standing there in the middle of that boat. And somehow it was like a magnet, this young man and my daughter came together that day. And look at that little thing sitting beside her back there. We were in the will of God. Now you say, well, don't you think if you'd have been somewhere else, Michelle would have met somebody else and would have gotten married and maybe... Yeah. I sure do. I'm not of the school of thought that believes, like a lot of people say, that God has somebody picked out for you and you just live until you find that person. No, the will of God is for you to seek God with all your heart and live for God. And sooner or later, you're going to choose somebody and God will ordain this. Because if we had decided to be in California before God specifically called and said, go to New England, I'm pretty sure Michelle would have married somebody in California and we never would have known Jim. A lot of people don't believe that. And it's okay. You can go to heaven not believing that. You can go to heaven. Somebody told me the other day, said, I believe God has a mate for you. And when she's there, God will show you. Well, that could be. I don't know. But I believe if I'm in the will of God and I picked out anything, a car or a woman. If it's in the will of God and God doesn't say go that way or go that way, then I'm serving God and I'm in His will. But if He says, you need this and that's it, then anything else is out of His will. And God didn't call Michelle to New England and say, I have a man for you there, and that's not why she came here. But she followed her daddy who was trying to follow God, and she found somebody here she was interested in who was also interested in somebody like her. And through prayer and seeking after God, they came together as a unit, as a family, and they're in the will of God. But here we were, trying to follow God with all of our hearts. My plans were to go back across the United States, get a new van with the recording equipment. I was going to go into churches, preach revivals, make record albums for their local church people, and distribute them nationwide. I was going to spend a few years just traveling around, having a big time producing records and preaching the gospel as soon as I could dump these girls. And I didn't mean that in a bad way. I just knew sooner or later they'd get married and I'd be free just to travel and be footloose and fancy free. If it hadn't been for Brother Sam Warren giving me a $200 offering, I'd still probably be stranded on the side of the road. Well, we finally got a little offering and it helped us along. Then we went up to Ellsworth, Maine. We got in the car on our way back home, back to Arkansas, after the Bakers, some of them in contact, said, we'd love you to consider coming to Norwich. And already we had picked up a passenger and we couldn't seemingly get rid of him. It was Brother Jim. He wanted to ride with us as far as Cincinnati. Now, I want to show you how God will deal with you when with these opinions. This is what I'm leading to. I had an opinion like this, you know. These people want me to come to Norwich. And you know, I'd like to go to Norwich, possibly, but I may not want to do that. So I said, I'll just try to make up my mind on this journey which way I'm going. But somehow, while I was in Ellsworth, Maine, miracles had happened, and the Lord had spoke to my heart and confirmed it, I want you to go to Norwich. And showed me a vision while I was there. And you know, once the Lord specifically calls you to do something, you may as well just give up every other idea and just do it. Because everything else is going to cause you to be halted between opinions. When God says, preach my word, if you're wrestling with whether or not to be a preacher, after you know God's called you, quit trying to decide whether or not to be a preacher. You know you've heard from God. Open that Bible, study and pray and prepare yourself for war and let God equip you with the ability to preach the gospel. Why halt you between opinions? You know you've heard from God. If God be God, follow Him. If you're not knowing for sure is your God, then follow that. But if you know God calls you, don't weigh it out over here. Can if you want to, and you can follow that. Don't go over here for an opinion. You can if you want to, and you can get an opinion. They'll say you're too young. You don't have abilities. You can't do it. If I were you, I would wait. Think about it again. Maybe you should go to college. Well, if you're going to do it, maybe you should go to Bible college. Or I have this opinion. Or I have that opinion. But if you know you've heard from God, do it. Save yourself a lot of trouble. I knew I heard from God when I was in Ellsworth, Maine, but I didn't want to accept it. Because I still had all these plans, see. So Brother Jim and I were taking turns, making plans, you know, to take turns driving that van. And we were headed down through Pennsylvania, and Melody Michelle in the car. I was just riding along thinking about, should I go to Norwich? Should I not? God said, I want you to go, but I don't think I want to. Maybe I will. I don't know. Maybe I should. I'll get down to Memphis, talk to some of my preachers and get their opinion. No, I'll go. Yeah, no, yes, no, maybe. And then I said, I'm not going. And right then, my left wheel locked up. And the car went, stopped on the side of the road. Looked up and there was a sign that said, the Lord's Valley. Halted between opinions. In the Lord's Valley. And it's a valley when you start trying to hang on to your opinion when God has said, do this. And I'm using myself as an example, but this can apply in a lot of things. God told Adam and Eve not to partake of the certain fruit. And they didn't even need to think about it. When the tempter came along with another plan, another idea, they should have just stuck with what God said. It would have saved them a lot of trouble. Hallelujah. So there we were in the Lord's Valley. We got tied up and we saw a lot of things happen. The next day we found ourselves headed out of there. And I said, I believe I will go to Norwich. And I saw a sign that said, the Promised Land. We drove about 600 or 700 miles. And I said, I'm not going to go to Norwich. And my ride wheel locked up right then. Came to a stop. We wobbled up to a motel. Remember that? And then, talk about how God dealt with me to get me to follow him in this place. I could have saved a lot of trouble if, when I was in Ellsworth, Maine, if I had said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And when I came down here knowing what I already knew, if I had said, Brother Baker, Sister Baker, God called me when I was in Ellsworth, Maine to be here, and I'm going to do it. And as soon as I can get things arranged, I'll be right back. Man, did we ever go through a lot of struggles halted between opinions before I got back. It was Thanksgiving Day, and we were stranded. We hitched a ride with an 18-wheeler, Jim, Michelle, Melody, and me. And we were singing with that. What were we singing? Amazing Grace. And the old man started singing bass with us. Riding down the road in that 18-wheeler. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. He liked us. And we talked about, we might move to Norwich. We think we'll move to Norwich. We'll probably move to Norwich. Maybe we will. And we got these tapes, and we'll send you a tape if you give our address. So he gave us his mailing address, took us to Cincinnati, where we were having a youth convention. We got out of the truck, walked up the sidewalk, found the convention center, walked in, talking about how God, once he speaks, even though you might be halted between your opinions, he'll still keep trying to remind you what he wants. We walked in that convention center, and the man said, Brother Rutledge, Brother Rutledge, Brother Rutledge. And I looked up, and there's a little short man running through the crowd. Brother Rutledge. His name was Brother Zeno from the West Coast, somewhere out in Seattle, Washington. He came running through the crowd. He said, I was praying and God said for me to come to you. I was looking for you. What is it you need? I didn't know what to say. And he said, I believe it's car trouble. I said, oh, yeah, my car's friend. That's it. He said, here are the keys. And he gave me, what kind of car was it? A Lincoln Town Car. Brand new Lincoln Town Car. Now, don't tell me these things just happen. How many times have you walked into a convention center? How many times you walked into a convention center with old clothes, and you've been riding for several days, and you're tired, you haven't had a shave, and you're worn out, and you're aggravated, and your car's broke down? How many times you walked into the middle of a crowd, and a man come running through the crowd and say, "Here's a new car for you to drive for a few days." And he handed me those keys, and he said, "Unlimited mileage. Drive it as long as you need it. Get your problem worked out." And he said, "And here's some money for you." He started handing me $20 bills. Michelle said, "Daddy, could I have some money for a Coke?" And he gave her a $20 bill. That's God. That's how God operates. And see, I was crazy. I was absolutely crazy to question God after all those things. That was just the beginning of things that were happening. One right after the other. And I'm not trying to convince you that God called me to Norwich. What I'm talking about is, why do we halt between opinions when we know we've heard from God? Why get ourselves all twisted up in knots on some decision when we already know the answer? Shall I have faith or shall I not have faith? Have faith! Shall I reach out for the lost or shall I put it off? Reach out for the lost! Right. Put it off, you're just going to get yourself halted between opinions. Shall I praise God with all my heart when I go to church? Or shall I set this one out? Praise God with all your heart when you go to church! Why halt you between opinions? You know it's the will of God to praise it with all your heart. You already know. He said, "Praise me." If you don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out. "Well, I don't think I want to." Then follow that. See where that'll get you. I know God wants me to testify, but not tonight. I have a song the Lord gave me. I want to sing it. Oh, and I know the Lord wants me to sing it. Will you sing? Some other time. I got a friend that God's been dealing with me to witness to, and I think I will. Maybe. If you know God's dealing with you to witness, go do it. Because this opinion of trying to figure out whether you should or not, after God said, do it, will cause you to become halted between opinions. And you find yourself stalemated. You find yourself not knowing which way to go. You find yourself like I used to be on that bicycle when I was a kid. I'd be riding along, telephone pole in front of me. I couldn't ride it very well. Anyhow, I looked at that pole. Should I go to the right or should I go to the left? I'd run right into it. Couldn't make a decision. You need to go one way or the other. We need to either go all out for God, follow Him with all of our hearts, serve Him, keep His commandments, live for Him, obey Him, be faithful in church, be faithful with our attendance, our support, do what His Word says concerning tithes and offerings, be faithful, live for Him, be prayerful, pray, seek God, read His Word, witness, do all those things. Because there's no other way. If we're going to make it. Brother Jim and I were driving that new Lincoln like a couple of kings. We've been traveling in an old van for a couple of days on the road, hot or cold, I don't remember which, but worn out for sure. We had 200 miles to go. We teased each other about our riches. We talked about all the gold. Because it felt like we were rich people. It did. We just talked as if we were millionaires to each other, driving that big, beautiful, new Lincoln. I think God probably was laughing right along with us because He was enjoying it too. We got up there in that place somewhere in northern Ohio where my van was broke down. Found the service station owner, asked him could he fix it. He said yes. And he cursed between sentences, swearing, saying terrible things I didn't enjoy hearing. I want to show you the will of God. God spoke to my heart and said, witness to the man. Witness to the man.
I was halted between opinions. Well, he's cussing. I don't know if I should or not. God said, do it. God said, tell him something about the Lord. Well, God, I feel like you're dealing with me to go to Norwich, Connecticut. Why should I witness to this man here in Ohio? I'll probably never see this man again. God said, do it. Well, I might. Do it! I dreaded it. I didn't want to talk to that man about God. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that or not. Have you? You ever had somebody you felt like you should talk to them and the Lord was dealing with you to do it? No, not now. I knew God was dealing with me to talk to that man. He got the car fixed, the van fixed. And he said, that'll be $500. $400, something like that, anyway. Didn't make any difference. I didn't have any anyhow. Maybe $300. I spent all I had on the other wheel that locked up. So I had to call home to my dad and say, Dad, I need you to wire me some money. He said, I'll be glad when you get through with these ventures that cost me money every time you go anywhere. You know, here I am, trying to make up my mind whether to go to Norwich, Connecticut or not, and here's a man that's been in the gospel work for years, saying, hurry home and quit going out on these wild dream ventures. You get home, maybe you'll stay put a while. Yes, Daddy. Inside of me, something saying, you can't stay home. How are you going to work this out? How are you going to borrow this money from your dad and then get down there and tell him you're going to Norwich? It's hard. Sometimes it's just hard to follow God. You got all kinds of opinions, pressures. I tell you what, family pressures, I don't care who you are. Family pressures are hard to overcome. Especially when you've been raised in a preacher's home and you got a veteran preacher who's been preaching for years saying, stay home. Get tired of wasting my money on you. One time he reminded me, he said, one time you took off to British Columbia. I knew you didn't have enough money to get there. Remember when you called me from Montana and needed $500 because you couldn't make the trip? Yes, Dad, I remember. Yeah, I remember. Well, when you get home, maybe you'll stick around here a while. I need your help. Okay, Dad. You sending that $300? Okay. I went and got it from Western Union. I told the man I need a ride. He gave me a ride. We went up and picked it up, got the check. And on the way he said, swear word, swear word, swear word, swear word, swear word, swear word, swear word. By the way, what do you do? I didn't want to tell him. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His face turned red. Now you tell me, he said. And he was real quiet then. He didn't say a word. We just drove. We rode. We got back to his garage. He said, minister, huh? I said, yeah. He said, I haven't been to church in 50 years. Why not? No, no. Said, God told me the day before, or earlier that day, witness to him. Tell him about the Lord. I haven't let him pull it out of me. Could have saved a lot of trouble. I said, I got a tape in my pocket. Would you like to hear it? He said, what is it? I said, my daughter and me singing together. Really? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. Put it on. We went in his service station, he put that tape on, started singing. Blessed be his holy name. There's healing in the name of Jesus. He ran out of the building. He came back in time to hear some other songs about Jesus. He ran out of the building. Meanwhile, his wife was standing there with a big smile on her face. She looked over at me and she said, You don't know, preacher, what you're doing for my husband. Said he's been needing this for years. Songs just kept playing. He kept running out, running back in. One time he ran in and he went, I'm going to tell you, no matter where we are, God can use us, even if we're on a trip and stranded. Even if we're trying to make up our mind whether to go this way or that way. Even if we're in a place of not knowing what to do. Wherever we are, there is an opportunity to do something for God. And God's will in that town in Ohio where I was stranded was to tell that man about Jesus. And I finally did. Hallelujah. I don't know what the outcome is, but I told him. We made it back and we finally finished the journey. I got down to Arkansas and had to face my dad. And he said, you're going to stay put? I said, I think so. Then I got sick. And I went over to the little apartment where I was staying and put my head in the pillow and I said, God, if you want me to go to Norwich, I'll go. And I got well. Just like that. And I got a phone call. A man said, I want you to come preach for me in Missouri. And I said, okay, I'll be there. Because I needed some money to make the trip if I was going to go. And I hadn't told my dad and mom yet that I was going. I'd already told them I'd probably stay there. I walked across the street. My dad started telling me all these plans. I'm going to turn the choir over to you. And I want you to be in charge of this. And I want you to do this. And I want you to do that. I said, Dad, I think I'm going to be going to Norwich. He said, I wish you'd make your mind up. Then my mama started talking. She said, Hun, you know it's secure here. And I could go into a long story how she persuaded me and changed my mind. Okay, Mama. Boy, I was relieved. My mama got me off the hook. Not that simple. When you know you've heard from God, I don't care what it is. If He wants you to go to Podunk, Alaska, go! Go! If He hasn't specifically said go somewhere, then live for Him where you are. Follow Him where you are. Serve Him where you are. Don't go anywhere. We need you here. Amen. Amen. So Mama said, stay. Okay, I said, okay, Mom, I think I will. And Dad said, I wish you'd make your mind up. Now, I haven't told you all these little details before, maybe a couple of you individually. We got in the car, took off to Missouri. I decided I'm not going to Norwich. Free as I could be. Got up there and they had another man preaching. We were doing a double thing. I was mostly in charge of music. Other man doing this preaching in this big United Pentecostal church. Nice to go in this great big church, and I was daydreaming about how it's going to be good to travel to all these big churches and see all my friends across the fellowship and just praise God, just enjoy singing with my daughters and traveling around. And that preacher got up there and looked right at me and he said, go where you know to go. Do what you know to do. Be what you know to be. I'd already called Brother Maynard and said, I'm not coming. I'd already called Brother and Sister Baker and said, I'm not coming. I didn't know till later that Brother Jim's mom and dad had been on their knees that very night when that preacher was preaching, saying, go where you know to go. Saying to the Lord, if we don't hear something within the next few hours, was it by midnight or something like that? Midnight. We're going to pack up and move to Ohio. I thank God for Brother and Sister Baker. If they hadn't been here, this church wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. They were a key that God used to bring this thing together. Hallelujah. And so, I hit the altar. During that time when Brother and Sister Baker were on their knees. Right during that time. Then I went to the telephone and I called Brother Maynard. I said, Brother Maynard, I was crying. I said, if you'll have me, if New England will have me, I'm coming. He said, well, we never thought otherwise. Got back home, 7 more minutes. I purposed my heart to stop at 9. I'm telling you about how to go for God. Personal experience. Don't be halted between opinions. When you know you've heard from God, go. Do it. Unless you want to struggle. I'm talking to myself, and I've already learned the lesson, but I'm still learning it again. I already know some things right now I've got to do, and I'm going to do them. Amen. You know some things you've got to do, too. Some of you have already shared some of it with me, and there's nothing I can do to stop you. I've tried. Go ahead. Do it. God spoke to your heart. And I don't want to stop you. But if I can, it's not God. Or either you're not following God. Hallelujah. Got back home. Told my dad and mom again, I'm going. Mama said, no, Dad said, make up your mind. I said, I'm going. No, hon, make up your mind. I'm going. She said, I believe you're going. I am, Mom. It's not you. It's not Dad. It's God. Got up and told the church that night, we're leaving. We'll be leaving tomorrow on our way to Connecticut. I didn't have over $100 to my name. Phone rang. A man said, is this Brother Rutledge? I said, yes. He said, my name is Davis, I believe. He said, I need a music director. Are you interested? I pay good. Give you a new house to live in. Expenses paid. Utilities paid. Where do you live? He said, where's that place in Ohio? Grove City, Ohio. And I said, well, I'm passing through there on my way to Connecticut. He said, Connecticut? Well, some of you that were here in the beginning, you remember. Brother and Sister Baker had a sign on their refrigerator. It said, this is not Burger King. You do it our way or you don't get it, do it at all, or something like that. Or you do it my way, you don't do it at all. I'd seen that sign, and I'd heard them talk about Brother Kiner this, Brother Kiner that, Brother Kiner this. Well, I didn't know Brother Kiner. But I heard he's from Grove City, Ohio. Well, this fellow called me from Grove City. I said, I'm going to Connecticut. He said, Connecticut? He said, my brother-in-law just came from up that way. I said, who's your brother-in-law? He said, Kiner. Really? I said, maybe I could stop by and preach on the way. He said, yeah. So we went up there. Well, make a long story short, here we started off with less than $100. I'm talking about how God, when you finally submit to Him and you follow Him, how He'll supply your needs. You heard about the Lincoln already. You heard about the miracle, how my car's needs were supplied. How God spoke, I said yes, and everything was going good. I said no, and everything went haywire. I said yes, and it straightened out again. And now here we were, on our way with $100. We stopped 2 or 3 churches. We got up to Ohio, Grove City. The man in Grove City handed me $1,000 to help on our trip. And I had already received $1,000 on the way, just people handing me money. And we stopped in Cincinnati and preached for Brother Sizemore one night, got lost on the way, tried to find his church, got there just in time to walk in, and he turned it over to me, got up and preached. He put us in a swanky motel, unlimited food service, eat all you want, all the charges are on us, and put $800 cash in my pocket. Talking about the blessings of God now. Remember the first time I came with $1 empty gas tank. And then Brother Kiner called while we were in Grove City, and he said, Brother Rutledge, he told me the story about how he came to Connecticut, how that God called him to be an apostle to open the doors for a ministry in this area. Praise God. And he told me about this great blizzard that was up here. Some of you have heard the story. And how that in a dream, the Lord told him to go to Burger King. And he went to Burger King in Columbus, Ohio. And Burger King was just closing, but there were a couple of men sitting in the back of Burger King. And they got up and they came up to Brother Kinder and they said, God showed us in a dream to go to Burger King and wait for you. And he said that he wants you to go to New England. Well, he'd already been invited to New England. He was trying to make up his mind whether to go to New England or not. And then he told me the story about how that when the day came for him to come here and he had the ticket, there was no way possible that he could make it. There was a blizzard going on, but the Lord said, go. And he got a call from Brother Maynard. Brother Maynard said, are you coming? He said, I don't see how I can because of the blizzard. Airports are shut down. And Brother Maynard spoke in tongues and prophesied over the phone and said, thus saith the Lord, go to a certain airport, get in a certain place, go to a certain line, and I'll get you there. He went to the airport. God took him to a certain place. He got in line. A man came up with a suitcase, picked up his suitcase, said, follow me. He didn't know the man. Took him to the front of the line, put him on the only seat in the only airline that was able to get out of there and go to the only airport that was open during the blizzard. When he got there, a man that he didn't know met him and said, follow me. Put him on another airline, took him to Boston. He got off the plane. There was Brother Maynard waiting on him. I'm talking about the will of God, how God will see you through. I don't care who you are, where you're coming from, what you think your inabilities are, or what you've done. If you put your trust in God, and God says, go, why halt us between opinions? And what happened? We arrive here, and you know the story. You see what God's doing. Now, that's 4 years ago. 4 years ago. Now, God's saying to some of you, do this. There are ministries that are being formed right now. There are talents that are about to be cultivated. There are needs of humanity crying out for you to stand up and be counted in this generation. There are needs to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And you know what? The Lord didn't tell me to do all these things. He told me to preach the gospel and try to do all I can to put it in your heart to expand His work throughout New England. And if you've heard from God, stand up and be counted. Don't get stuck in some opinion. Don't be found following something that God didn't say. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Praise God. The way of, when you follow God, it's a way of blessings. When you follow God, it's a way of impossible circumstances being worked out. When you follow God and you know you've heard from God and you're going God's way, you can come up against a wall that you can never go through. There's no way you can get through it. God takes you by the hand and says, walk through. And He just makes a hole in it. Takes you on through it. You come up to a mountain you can't climb. God said, I want you to go over that mountain. You don't take time to look to the right or the left and find out what anybody thinks about it. You just start marching toward the mountain. The next thing you know, you're on the other side of it. The mountain's behind you. How did you do it? Everybody said, how in the world could you do that? I didn't see how you could make it. You don't even know yourself. You just know you love God with all your heart. God said, take that mountain. And you said, I'm taking your hand, Lord Jesus. I'm going to follow you. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. This is where I stand. I put my trust in God. I'm going through in Jesus' name. Suddenly the mountain's behind you. Cross this desert. Go through this dry spot. Go into this desolate place where the hungry and the needy and the sinful are. Get in the midst of them and proclaim my word. Take the city. Yes, Lord. The city says you can't. God said do it. Let's raise our hands and praise Him tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This week, more than one person have been looking at a 5-story building, thinking maybe God wants us to have that. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, if it's God, we'll get it. Hallelujah. God said, I want you to start New England School of the Bible. We're doing it. Hallelujah. But you don't have credentials to do that. Yes, I do. Got the will of God and the call of God. What else can you ask for? Where did you go to school to study for all this? The University of Hard Knocks. Trying to figure it all out and finding myself halted between opinions till I finally realized that Jesus has a master's degree in all things.